Hello and welcome to another reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. We are on the third reflection in our current series through the Gospel of John as we consider the question, how do we love like Jesus does? So far in our series, we've looked up at the need to show up as Jesus did when he entered our world and became fully man as well as fully God. We've also thought about the importance of truly seeing others, of looking and listening with the intention of learning about who they are, rather than making assumptions based on our own prejudices. The example of Jesus reminds us that we need to allow God's view of someone to inform our opinion, rather than our own biases. And this week we are reflecting on John 2, 1 to 12, and considering what it means to make a difference in even the small and seemingly unimportant matters. So I'm going to read from John chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 80 to 120 litres. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realise where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." What Jesus did here in Galilee of Cana was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and brothers and his disciples. There they stayed for a few days. So, we meet Jesus and his disciples at a wedding in Cana. Cana was another town within the region of Galilee, and it was quite relatively close to where Nazareth was. Weddings at that time were huge celebrations that took place over many days, sometimes lasting up to 7 days. There were these massive social events, and especially in a small town such as Cana, it would have been a whole community celebration. So, just like today, weddings were expensive. And to try and offset some of the costs, the host would often water down the wine to make it last longer. However, even with this measure, the wine had begun to run out at the wedding. And in the culture of that time, hospitality was of huge importance. If a host ran out of wine, it would cause huge social embarrassment and would bring grave shame upon the family and the newly wedded couple. And it will be seen as boding badly for the future of that couple's marriage. But Jesus, his disciples, and his mother were invited to the wedding. And suddenly, the situation isn't so cut and dry. Clearly, Jesus' family were known to the couple, as Jesus' mother, Mary, was also present. When it became apparent that the wine had run out, Mary approaches Jesus with the news. When Mary tells Jesus about the wine, Jesus responds with, "Woman, why do you involve me? My hour has not yet come." Now, this encounter between Jesus and his mother may appear strange, and from our modern perspective, it may actually seem quite rude and dismissive. However, in ancient times, the address of woman was a common and polite term, not the slightly dismissive one that we have attached to it. Jesus also questions why Mary feels it's necessary to get involved. Why do you involve me? I find the Message translation of this verse quite helpful here. It says, "Is that any of our business, Mother, yours or mine? This isn't my time. Don't push me." It wasn't their family's wedding. They had no responsibilities. They were only there as guests. It's interesting, in this encounter, we seem to see the contrast between earthly human concerns and timing compared with God's concerns and God's timing. Mary was thinking of the potential scandal caused by the lack of wine at this wedding. Jesus, however, had his mind fixed on his purpose for coming to earth, looking towards the events of the cross and the resurrection. And so we see this strange juxtapositioning of concerns as both Mary and Jesus think on their respective futures. Jesus knew that every action he took must point to and contribute to his ultimate mission. And so he attempts to convey this to his mother by demonstrating that he was working for his mission. It's not my time. My hour has not yet come. Whereas Mary had focused on the immediate situation, and she seemed to recognise that Jesus could do something to help in providing wine for the wedding, and so she tries to push and instruct Jesus to act. Jesus' response therefore reminds Mary that God cannot be compelled by human insistence and that he works on his own time. However, God is also gracious and compassionate. Jesus knew what social scorn the couple and their family would face from the others in the community, and so he responded to the need that he could see. The first miracle in John's Gospel is one where Jesus turned water into wine so that the celebrations of a wedding could continue. In comparison, with most, if not all, of the other miracles that Jesus does, the reason for this miracle seems small and insignificant. Jesus performed the miracle because the hosts had run out of wine. When considered like this, it does seem a little bit strange that John records this as the first miracle of Jesus. To be honest, it seems strange that John even remembered such a thing, and yet it is this miracle that comes first in John's Gospel. Now, there are many possible meanings you could extract from the symbolism of this. However, I want to focus on just the miracle itself. This miracle would have made very little impact on the gospel story as a whole. If this hadn't been recorded by John, it wouldn't have dramatically changed the rest of the story. However, for the hosts of the wedding and for the newly wedded couple, this would have had a powerful impact. They lived in a culture where honour and shame were key elements to how life was lived. If they had run out of wine, they would have gained shame on their family that would have lasted into their marriage life, the stigma of it casting an ugly stain on their lives. Jesus's miraculous act was a small one compared to his others, but it made a difference to the lives of those at the wedding. It made a difference to the hosts and the newlyweds. It made a difference to the servants who filled the jars with water. And it made a difference to all those who witnessed the miracle and saw Jesus' glory beginning to be revealed. This miracle helped to build up the faith of the disciples and all who came to follow Jesus. We have opportunities to make a difference to people around us in our daily lives. Like the wedding at Cana, we probably won't be seeing huge changes that affect the whole world. But God works through us to make small differences, but only if we let him. God wants to work through us, not just once, but all the time. We are amazingly privileged by the fact that he wants to make a difference through us. Are we opening our lives to him and listening to his promptings so that we can make a difference. There's a famous story that you've probably heard before, but it's one that I find both really inspiring and challenging, and it relates to this. An old woman was taking her daily walk along the beach one morning when she spotted the sight, the strange sight, of a child bending down, scooping something up from the sand and tossing it out into the sea. The child repeated this again and again, running up and down the beach, regularly pausing to pick something up and throw it into the sea. The woman watched as the child continued again and again to stop, bend down, scoop, stop, bend down, scoop, throw. Finally, the woman couldn't resist her curiosity any longer, and she approached the child and asked, "Child, what are you doing?" The child replied, "I'm saving these starfish that have got washed up on the beach. They'll dry out and die if they stay out of the water too long. So I'm putting them back in the ocean so they will survive." The woman paused for a moment and then looked around her at the beach. "Child, there must be thousands of starfish stranded on this bit of beach alone. And there are probably thousands more further down the street, the beach. I'm sorry to tell you, but you'll never make a difference." The child smiled and picked up another starfish and tossed it back into the water. "Well, I've just made a difference to that one." So often we are focused on that big picture that we feel we can't change. So much so that we don't even recognise the opportunities to make a difference on a small level. Jesus could have just focused on his mission. He could have ignored the situation at the wedding and kept his mind focused on the task he had to complete. But instead, Jesus saw the need and responded out of compassion and love. This week, how can you see where you can make a difference? Will you ask Jesus to help you to see those opportunities to make a difference, no matter how seemingly small they may appear? Let's pray. God, we thank you that you care about the big things, the difficult things, but you also care about the seemingly small and insignificant things. And you make a difference in our lives. Lord, I thank you for that amazing privilege that we have because you choose to make a difference to other people through us. And I pray that we will have our spiritual eyes open and our ears tuned to you so that we can see the places, the situations around us where you are calling us to make a difference. Lord, give us the courage, give us the strength. Equip us, Lord, to do your work in our community around us as we live out following you this week. In your holy name we pray. Amen.